Okay, so this is another message on the names, titles, and attributes of God. And this one comes from the book of Daniel. But you don't want to turn there yet. Turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalm 90. The expression that I'll be talking about tonight is one that we don't use very much in reference to God. But Atik Yoman, Ancient of Days, in the book of Daniel, appears in the perfect context. However, you're going to notice here in a few moments that the concept is not unique. While it's not used very much in the Bible, and though we don't use it very much, you're going to notice that the idea is there elsewhere in Scripture. So I take you first to Psalm 90, written by Moses, a man who, if anybody on the earth knew God, it was Moses. I mean, he spoke face to face with God in a way that no one else ever had, or ever has since then, except for maybe the Lord Jesus himself. And when he wrote Psalm 90, he began by saying this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Notice that Moses didn't say before the mountains came to be, God had come to be. But before the mountains, the earth and the world came to be, there is God. He already is because he always has been. Or another way you could say it is, he's the Ancient of Days. His days are without calculation, without number. Next, look at Isaiah 43. I really debated with myself as to how much of this chapter I should read. And then I realized, you know, what I do when I do my sermons during the week in my classes, you know, I'll work on a class, and then when I get done with that, I work on a sermon, and you know, I do that all 5 days of the week. So, as I was preparing my morning sermon that you heard already, I still kind of have that in the back of my mind, and then I come to Isaiah 43, and I'm like, wow, I need to read this whole thing, but the more I realize it, I should have read it for my morning sermon. So, I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but tomorrow read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Tuesday read Psalm 91. Wednesday read Habakkuk 3. And then Thursday read Isaiah 43. It is just absolutely beautiful. And the words of comfort and peace that God gives in that chapter, I think, are just... Well, I feel like I'm cheating you by not reading it. That's how strongly I feel about it. Because what God is doing in that chapter is he's, through Isaiah, telling the people how much he loves them. How he cares for them and how he watches over them. It really is just beautiful. But he finally comes down to verse 13 in that he's able to care for them and love them the way he does because of this. Verse 13, indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Okay, so make sure you read those first 12 verses, and then you come to verse 13, and I think it'll make sense to you. Because you'll be seeing how he's reasoning. God's saying, I love you, and I've always been here. In fact, before the first day was made, I am he. That's just how it is. So Israel, I care for you. I love you immensely. And of course, that would be true of the church also. Before you read, you know, the creation of the first day in those first five verses of Genesis 1, well, God's already there, obviously, because he's creating everything. He has always been. It's so beautiful. Okay, so I've said enough about that. Then there's Daniel chapter 7. Now you can go to Daniel. Daniel had a vision of four beasts. The first one was of a lion with wings representing Babylon. The second one was a bear, or resembled a bear, with one side higher than the other, representing the Medes and the Persians, but the Persians were the more dominant power, so that's why one side was raised. And I guess, a little side point here, I guess all of us are like that. I never knew that about myself. You've seen me with a new jacket recently, and I bought that at a store in San Francisco, and the lady came right up to me, the saleswoman, and said, she guessed my size and everything about me, and then said, oh, and your left side's higher than your right. And now every time I look in the mirror or I see a picture of me, it's, I think I'm looking like this, you know. So when I read this about a bear with this one side up, I usually I would have represented with the right side. Now I'm going to do the left. But so that he saw that. Then the third one was a leopard with four wings and four heads, representing Greece with Alexander, like the leopard, and the four wings and the four heads representing the four generals who followed him. Then Daniel saw a fourth beast. But this time, he gives a lot more detail, and it troubles him. Starting at verse 7, he said this, "After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, excuse me, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words." When you read his vision, you'll see that in the first 6 verses, he doesn't, you know, in the vision that goes before that, you don't see him giving that kind of a description. It's the fourth one that catches his attention. And I think God wanted him to see this fourth one. This fourth one represented Rome. But this beast really troubled him pretty bad. And after the vision is over, Daniel asks someone about it, probably an angel, you know, what is the meaning about the fourth beast? And he kind of points out to this angel what he's just seen, that it was exceedingly dreadful, it was pompous, and it just devoured. And so this happens in verse 19. "Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet. And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows." Okay, so he's repeating that for us, as though we missed it the first time. I think he wants us to feel the dread and the terror that he was feeling. Because he knew that God was giving him this vision because somehow these beasts or these nations that he saw were going to have an impact on God's people. And he sees these fierce creatures representing these fierce nations, and it bothers him. So he wants to know the meaning. Then he gets some explanation somewhat, and then when it's over, in verse 28, he says, "This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, how many times have you seen a prophet in the Bible receive a vision, and then they say, "What I saw really bothered me"? It usually doesn't happen. But it happened with him. So these four beasts represented what we call today superpowers. Powers that just dominated the earth, dominated that part of the world, totally. And smashing anyone who opposed them or tried to fight them in any way. And all of these superpowers fought against the Jews, and especially the fourth one, the one that really troubled Daniel, fought against Christians. And did horrible things to the church. So it just seemed as though after the fall of Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, that world empires were then in control. Because they had their will. They did whatever they wanted to do. Wherever they wanted to do it. When the four of us went over there to the Middle East, I would think about, okay, here we are traveling by plane and then by bus or automobile or whatever to these different locations. But I thought to myself, and I didn't tell this to the three ladies that were with me, but I would often think, okay, when we're in Petra, was it, and we saw evidence of the Romans being there, or in Egypt and saw evidence of the Greeks being there, these armies had to walk across the face of the earth to get there, or go across the ocean, the Mediterranean, in treacherous waters on ships not nearly as good as what our troops have today. And that just showed how determined they were. I mean, here's a place 800 miles away, 1,000 miles away, and let's walk over there and take it. We wouldn't do that today, as you know. But that's what they did. So these visions are showing Daniel just how fierce and determined these powers are. And Daniel saw that firsthand with Babylon. They came 800 miles on foot to do what they did. And now he sees three more nations coming up in this vision. They're going to do somewhat the same things. Okay? So Daniel then saw something else in his vision that I've not covered yet and I skipped over that gives assurance to the soul, whether it was to the Jews then or I think to the Christian today. Because the other part of the vision shows who truly rules all things. The fact that Daniel is getting this vision from God, that right there tells you God's in control. He's saying, here's the nations that are going to come up, here's what they're going to do, and here's how I'm going to deal with them. So without anything else, just that alone says they're not in ultimate control, although it appears that they're in ultimate control. Okay, so here's what he says now. Go back to verse 9, and this is just amazing right here. I say that a lot, don't I? I'm sorry. When I look at Scripture, I mean, it's God's Word, and I'm like, this is amazing. You got to see it, okay? So I hope I don't do that too much. But anyways, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Okay, he's already seen four terrible beasts. And it looks like they're the powers. Looks like they're in charge. Then he sees another scene in his vision, and he sees some thrones put in place, and then the Ancient of Days is seated. I get a picture of right there that he sees the Ancient of Days walk over to his throne, and he sits down on his throne. What is that telling Daniel? His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000, in other words, 100 million, stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Now, could you picture that as we were going? Here's the Ancient of Days sitting on his fire, and what's it made out of? Ivory? No. Gold? No. Fire. And the throne is mobile. It has wheels on it, and its wheels of fire. And fire comes out from before him. His garments are white. And 1,000 of the thousands are ministering to him, and there's another 100 million just standing around. What kind of a sight was that? He hadn't been told what that number was, unless he's just throwing that out there. Like I might say, you know, I've got 8 billion problems to deal with today. I don't know, maybe he said something like that. But it's just, can you picture that? Of course, I used to always picture it on a 2D plane. But now picture it all around, above, just all around, 3D, everywhere. He's just all these angels are standing around. Okay, verse 11. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words. He's going back now to the fourth beast. which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So Rome's going down, he said. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now here's the exciting part. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him, it's like someone went and brought him near before him, before the Ancient of Days, then to him, the one coming up, the Son of Man coming up, to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, again, picture what we're seeing here, okay? God is in control, Daniel. In spite of these fierce beasts and the things that they will do, and in the case of the first one, I've already done, God is in control because he is the Ancient of Days. He sits on his throne. His throne is a flaming fire. A stream of fire issues from before him. Millions minister to him. 100 million stand around him. He conducts the court. He slays the beast. And he receives the Son of Man. That's all that's going on in that vision. Now, did you see what happened in verse 13? I can still remember that I was on a lectureship a few years ago, and there's a preacher, I can't remember his name right now, who's speaking on this text right here. And he pointed out verse 13, and he said that Daniel foresaw the ascension of Christ from the vantage point of heaven. And he looked right at me when he said that. Does it ever make you nervous if I make a point and I look right at you? Like, you need to get your life together, brother, you know? And you're thinking, why did he look at me? But, man, it really hit me hard. And I thought, wow, this hasn't even happened yet. In Acts 1, there's the 11 apostles. Judas is dead. Jesus is meeting with them. A cloud, the cloud that's mentioned here, comes and scoops them up, and he goes up into heaven. And they just stand there staring at him. And remember that angel then says, remember there are two of them, you know, why are you guys looking up into heaven? He's going to come back the same way you left. Daniel sees the same thing, but not from down here. He's up there in heaven. God has given him the view of heaven, and he watches. He doesn't really understand who he's seeing, of course. But he watches whom he labels as the Son of Man coming up on the clouds of heaven. And he comes into heaven. And then he's given what he says there in verse 14, dominion and glory and a kingdom so that everyone in the world should serve him. To me, I find that absolutely fascinating. So the Son of Man received from the Ancient of Days everlasting dominion. And it is so everlasting, he says, that it will not pass away, nor can it be destroyed. And brethren, that's what I'm a part of. That's what you're a part of. We're a part of that kingdom in the church. It will not pass away. It'll be here till the end of time. Amen. And even my nation that I love so dearly, the United States of America, I don't know how long time is going to go on. But if it goes on long enough that our nation eventually fades away, you know, that'll happen. That breaks my heart, but it'll happen. But the church will still be here. Because Jesus is in control. The Ancient of Days has given to Jesus the power and authority to reign forever and ever. Amen. That is so true. Hallelujah. Praise God. Therefore, the Jews then and Christians now have nothing to fear, regardless of all the crises, tumults, and other problems and troubles going on around us, because God is the Ancient of Days. He was here long before current problems and troubles were, and he'll be here long after they're all gone. He allows them to be, and he'll decide when they're no longer. Now, go to the gospel according to John, because I think based upon what we just saw there in Daniel chapter 7, that Jesus shares in this Ancient of Days. He has to. I mean, you open up John, you've read it before. I think everybody who's here, you've read the opening words of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That makes him Ancient of Days. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then you jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh. That's like saying, and God became flesh. The Ancient of Days became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, like what he received up there in Daniel 7. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I think that whatever you can say about the Father that qualifies him as the Ancient of Days, you can also say about Jesus the Son qualifying him also as the Ancient of Days. We look at him as a carpenter turned preacher teacher, and that's what he was. I don't want to take away from that. But, of course, he's so much more. In the beginning, Jesus already was. He didn't come to be. So what Moses said in Psalm 90 is true about Jesus also. Before the mountains, before the earth, before the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Jesus is God. He's the Ancient of Days. He's God. He made everything. He gave us life. He took on a flesh and he had a body as we do. And if we could have seen him, though, he would appear to have age, right? I mean, the time that we see him in the Bible is when he's a baby, then when he's 12 years old, and then when he's in his early 30s. And he would have looked like a man in his early 30s. He wouldn't have looked like a man in his hundreds. He wouldn't have looked like a boy, a 7-year-old boy. He would have looked like a man in his early 30s. So let's go to John 8 right now, and this is pretty significant here, I think, because Jesus never made it to age 34. And in my book, that's pretty young. He's 33 and a half when he dies. All right, so in verse 51 of John 8, Jesus begins to say some things that the Jewish leaders could not accept because he's saying things that equate him with the Ancient of Days. So watch what he says now, that if anyone keeps his word, he says, such a person will never see death. So they respond to that, verse 52, now we know that you have a demon. As though there were any question in the past, we know for sure now because you're saying if anyone keeps your word, they'll never die. It's not just that you're out of your mind, you're evil. That's what they're saying. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? They shouldn't have asked that question. because they're not going to like this answer either. In fact, they're going to like it even less than what he's already said. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That's really getting him in trouble now. So they continued speaking. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. They could tell he was in his early 30s. They could tell he was a young man. You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That's like saying Isaiah 43 that I began with, or gave you after Psalm 90. Before the day was, I am he. Jesus was saying, I am the I am who appeared to Moses. Jesus was saying, I'm the Ancient of Days. I've been here forever. And of course they didn't like that. That did it for them. So verse 59 says, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Brethren, we really need to know who our God is, remembering Daniel 7. There's your Friday reading, okay? Daniel 7. And we need to know who Jesus of Nazareth is. I wish I could just tell the whole world, be still in the presence of the Ancient of Days. Let every soul come to know the Ancient of Days. Become his follower, become his imitator. Okay, those in my class on Sunday morning, we're going to come to Ephesians 5, where Paul will say that we should be imitators of God as dear children. We're his children. Let's imitate him in every way we can. So if you have a need for the invitation tonight, we want to extend that to you right now. You can come forward as we stand and sing.